The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. Lord knows I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. With you on this 19th day of July 2018. And talked to Mark Anderson the other day. And he's looking at the creatures, and I spent a good amount of time last hour describing perception versus reality, the imminent front. But they're all involved in misconstruing and misleading and, well, and many times is flat out lying. And if you don't think they all have an agenda, you got another thing coming. This isn't the white paper news that people perceived when I was a young man. I figured, hey, you know, this guy on TV, you know, Walter Cronkite, you know, he's important. He's on CBS, you know, he's doing a half hour news program. He wouldn't lie. Well, it turns out he was one of the biggest globalists we had in the news media. But that's another story. I have Mark Anderson with me today. Hello, Mark.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Mighty fine. In Ann Arbor, Michigan today. Beautiful day.
Oh, boy. There's your communist enclave in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm at U of M in a parking lot, of all things.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, wave high to the snowflakes and the miscreants running around that campus. Whoa.
Well, it's after hours. I'm not seeing any such critters, so we're good.
All right. You know, you and I were talking the other day, and you were mentioning, you know, the media and how this is being used pretty much as a propaganda tool. And in the first hour of my program today, you know, I was kind of breaking this down a little bit, that we've got MSNBC, we've got Fox News, we've got this channel, ABC, CBS, whatever. Now, these guys, if you take a look at their viewership, it's not that great. But when you team up with the politicians and the people on Wall Street to keep this imminent front or this false narrative going, people perceive this as being much bigger than it actually is. But you were doing some digging around, and you found out some very interesting things. Pray tell, what might they be?
Well, one of the things I've noticed, and in my opinion, we're at kind of a turning point or a pivotal point. Donald Trump, although he's far from perfect, is clearly making waves that are not pleasing most of the establishment most of the time. And whether he knows exactly what he's up against, I can't say. Probably none of us can, although I think he's smarter than he lets on. I think his so-called recklessness and his so-called off-the-cuff style is part real, but it's also part to kind of kick sand in the face, I think, draw with crooked lines to keep the media diverted, to keep the media looking one way while he goes the other. I think he's trying to use some strategy. And love him or hate him, he's trying to do as much as he can in his first term, because Lord knows what's coming with the second term in 2020. We hear Hillary Clinton could run again, horror of horrors, you know, to even imagine that she can barely walk down the street and she thinks she can be president, only she could be that delusional. But be that as it may, with this pivotal time that's going on, I was watching TV recently. I don't watch much TV. It's strange for a newsman, but it's true. But I was watching it, and I noticed that when Chris Wallace of Fox News interviewed Vladimir Putin right after Putin had met with Trump at the Helsinki summit, that he was upholding, even though Fox News is largely, at least nominally, more pro-Trump through Sean Hannity and through other anchors on Fox News, yet Chris Wallace of Fox News was aping the same narratives as NBC, ABC, CBS, and the rest of the alphabet soup. And I noticed that there's a consistent pillar or kind of foundation of lies. They'll report anything and everything, but there's this certain area where right now at this pivotal point, all the media are agreeing that they have to keep these lies alive. And it's basically that Assad of Syria is an incredibly bad Count Dracula guy that gasses his own people just for fun. That's what he likes to do. Instead of going golfing, he gasses his own people. Putin is bad, overthrows elections, annexes places like the Crimea. Of course, it was annexed. There couldn't possibly be any other explanation. And these are two of them. These are two of the big ones. And so Fox News, while they're out there with Trump trying to be a little bit more on his side or at least be objective, is still pumping that narrative that, Putin is sticking his nose in Syria along with his evil cohort Assad. They're both aggressors. They're both military aggressors in one way or another. And that Putin stole our elections and that Putin annexed Crimea. And Fox is just as bad as the rest of them in upholding this foundational lie that consists of these different parts. And people kind of know this to an extent, but I'm pointing it out because we're at a really pivotal point. Trump is, again, even though he's a little hard to read, he's on a bit of a roll. He got Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court. He got Korea under his belt. He went to Russia. He's really pushing hard on NATO to reform their spending, or the U.S. might just back out. He backed out of the TPP, backed out of the Paris Agreement. Seems to be sincere. He actually did enact the tariffs against China. He's not just talking about it. He's really pushing back on elements of the Bilderberg universe. We can all hope this is all very sincere, but that's why I'm pointing this out, is because these lies have been going on for a while, but the stakes have never been higher. The situation has never been more volatile or subject to quick change as it is right now.
You know, it's fascinating to me. It's been learned recently, John Brennan really was a fan of the Communist Party USA. Yeah, and you take a look at his actions in Iraq. Peter Strzok, his father, the overthrow in 1953, Mossadegh installed the Shah of Iran. That was the CIA and the U.S. government's pick. It's not what the Iranian people wanted. You know, we were nation building over there before that became a fashionable term. And you're right. My God, I'm John Brennan coming out and saying that Donald Trump is treasonous because he didn't stick up for the intel community in this country. The very ones that have been lying through their teeth, tried to rig an election, tried to smash the opposition. You know, where were they when in the primaries where the old Debbie Wasserman kind of edged out self-proclaimed socialist Bernie Sanders? You know, that was a rigging of the primaries. Where was the FBI on that one?
Yeah, and where were they when the real story that most people think is true, and there's the most evidence for it, is the elections were leaked, not hacked, to the extent that Seth Rich, who ended up dead and was a friend of the Democratic Party working with them, he is, by the best evidence we have, and none of it's perfect, but the best evidence we have, he's the one that leaked the emails to WikiLeaks, not to Russia, and that it was Seth Rich, and that's probably why he died. And so that whole Seth Rich thing has been flushed down the establishment toilet, out down into the sewer system, just as far as they can flush it.
Yeah.
They never talk about it anymore. They say that Putin is meddling in the elections. Well, you have a story on your website today. I was glancing at it on my phone. I think it's the ESNS, Electronic Voting Machine Company.
Right.
You know, so we've had electronic voting now in earnest for 12 to 15 years. The United States doesn't need any help hacking foreign governments' elections, and it needs no assistance hacking its own. It's got both areas covered, and it's had them covered a long time.
But we don't talk about that. The
vote, right, that's heresy.
Yeah,
can't do that.
Yeah, it was the Russians. It's Vladimir Putin. I mean, for John Brennan to come out and say that this summit, which was really a meeting in Russia or with Vladimir Putin, is
that, yeah,
somehow that this was favoring Putin. He is under Putin's thumb. Putin is former KGB. Well, they didn't take the opportunity to mention that George Bush Sr. Was in fact CIA. I mean, he became president. You know, these little facts seem to fall by the wayside, but the picture that's being painted is Vladimir Putin is nothing but a thug that has taken over politics and policy of the former Soviet Union, and that he's a monster. The annexation of Crimea, if you would, Mark, a little background as to why Mr. Putin did that.
Well, my best understanding is that when Victoria Nuland and Yatsenyuk were involved in overthrowing Yanukovych, the former Ukrainian leader, in early 2014, that Putin, because the Black Sea Fleet is on the Crimean Peninsula, the Russian naval Black Sea Fleet, that he moved to, yes, incorporate them, and there was a vote. Granted, we don't know how honest the election is. We don't know that Russia was totally above board about it. But it was a protective measure because Western intelligence overthrew Ukraine proper, and he needed to protect the Crimean Peninsula, partially because the largest naval fleet of the entire Russian Navy is there.
Which I would, Mark, which I would classify as being an important thing to Russia in its defense.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, no one has ever said, and me included, and you included, that Putin is some angel. We know the Russian state is a superpower. You don't want to mess with those guys. I wouldn't want to be on their bad side, but they're not interventionist aggressors the way the U.S. has taken itself to be over the last, you know, couple generations. If they were, they would have armed forces in Canada right on the Minnesota border, just like we have NATO forces gobbling up one country after another, heading east right up against the Russian border. You see Russian forces in Canada on the Minnesota or Michigan or North Dakota border? No. So, you know, there's no equivalency there. I don't care what they say. Yeah, you keep an eye on every superpower. Sure, of course you do. That's what militaries and intelligence do. But the U.S. just is too, there's just too much hypocrisy. The overthrow of Guatemala, and I believe it was in 54, that was in the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, Perkins' book. You know, it goes back to the skullduggery. I mean, I think that murdering or assassinating the leaders of other countries, I'd call that meddling in the democratic systems of another country. Wouldn't you, John?
I would, yeah, yeah.
They choose bullets over ballots. And so, you know, meddling in elections takes many forms. And I even used to be an election worker here in Michigan in the early 2000s, and I learned the system. And, you know, that's not just something you can routinely play with, but the electronic voting machines that the counties of each state have adopted in most of our states are hackable. So even if the Russians did hack our actual election systems, which I don't believe they did, but even if they did, the fault lies in our governments at the state level adopting vulnerable machines that are vulnerable to being hacked by whatever parties are doing the hacking. And so The fault lies in the vulnerability of the systems this country is choosing, just as much, if not more, as whoever might be the, quote, hacker. Although I think, again, this was a leak, not a hack, by Seth Rich. And I think most of the evidence stands in support of that. So it's so multifaceted. Many of us know about a Texan, Laura Presley, who's a computer programmer, very well trained. She's got a lawsuit pending in Texas. Texas can't even get the ballots on their electronic voting machines to conform to the definition of a ballot in Texas election law and the Texas state constitution. So the Secretary of State in Texas is meddling by not obeying the law.
This is fascinating. Fascinating to me. Yeah. I mean, if people got real nervous when Trump was starting to address the issue of NATO. Now, understanding NATO and its placement, the member countries of NATO, pretty much has Russia ringed in. Now, NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was designed post-World War II for some camaraderie and hooking up the states that were left that weren't taken over by the communist after the war. Basically, what we did, Mark, was to allow the Soviet Union carte blanche, taking anything that they wanted in Europe while we stood by and watched. Here was a communist country, later to become the big boogeyman of the planet, that we'd have all sorts of interesting encounters with, nuclear standoffs and God knows what. And since Vladimir Putin, since that Iron Curtain fell, there has been a transformation in the old Soviet Union that makes us look like we're standing still. And on tomorrow's program, I'm going to bring to light a little bit more how Russia has not been standing still, even in their invention of new military hardware that makes us look like we're in the Stone Age. We're too busy building ships that can't go to sea for 30 days at a time without major breakdowns. Planes that if you get too wet fall apart in the sky that cost...
Yeah, the F-35, I guess the air conditioner didn't work or something. I'm being a little facetious, but something very basic didn't work in the F-35.
And the
windows would steam over or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And, you know, they couldn't shoot straight and the furry dice would fall off the mirror. I'm being a little funny, but, it just wasn't working.
It's true. Cost overruns on anything that the government touches for a product that doesn't work. While Russia has been busy building its economy, telling the world banks to basically take a hike, he's been concentrating on the people of Russia. He's not concerned about putting together an army to go conquer the planet Earth, or trying to. He's a country that they have high regard for Vladimir Putin over there. Kind of sounds kind of parallel to Bashar Assad in Syria, that the people wanted him. They voted him in twice. Same thing with Vladimir Putin. You would think that respective countries, the people that are voting for their own leaders, that should be their business. And it has been. But somebody along the way to this poison little well doesn't like this. Now, Mark, I don't know. You've been doing this for a long time. I'm seeing everything, all the stops being put out, no matter how weak they are, no matter where the argument's coming from, the rhetoric that's being ginned and re-ginned and ginned again on things that have been disproven or at the very least are unimportant. The two biggest nuclear powers on the face of the earth, the two guys sitting down to have a little talk. I mean, it's so bad right now, the Democrats wanted to bring in the interpreter, put him in front of a panel in Washington to interview him about what happened in a private meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
What? Yeah, second-guessing everything, yeah.
Everything. Tell you what, I hear the music. Let's take a break. We'll also open up the phones in case you have a few questions here. 800-313-9443. Sitting in a parking lot in Ann Arbor, Michigan, at the great University of Michigan that once used to be great. It's just kind of there now. We'll be back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out the school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out the school? That's what they said.
Let me give the listeners here about a 2 minute on the great Fox News and what people perceive to be the great social commenter over there, and, an untouchable conservative. I'm only going to give you 2 minutes of Sean Hannity here.
All right, as we go through tonight's opening monologue, I want you to keep some very important questions in your mind. First, think about this. What is worse, a hostile regime that we know is hostile, run by a bad actor, trying to create chaos in our elections as it has many times in the past, or top...
Now, Mark, did you hear that?
Yes.
Speaking of Russia, a bad actor meddling in elections...
And has for a long time.
Has for a long time. Well, I'm sorry, let me... A little bit more of the claptrap here from the... He's well overpaid, but that's what you have to do to your propaganda ministry, is pay them well.
Officials in the Federal Bureau of Investigation rigging an investigation to advance their favored candidate that they should have indicted. Or what about the Democratic Party rigging their own party's primary to favor Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders? What's worse? Or is it worse that the Democratic Party bought and paid for Russian lies, of all things, to propagandize you, the American electorate, the American people, to lie outright to you, the American people, about an opposing candidate rather than win on the important issues that will impact the lives of the American people? Or is it worse that the Democrats, the DNC, and Hillary Clinton, that they actually bought and paid for what turned out to be Russian lies presented as the bulk of information to secure a FISA warrant on an American citizen associated with an opposition party in a presidential election year so they could spy on that party and a warrant based on Russian paid for lies? Or is it worse the Democratic Party bought and paid for those Russian lies they were never verified and yet regurgitated by the self-righteous, sanctimonious, delusional media in this country that exalts itself as something they are not?
Something like Fox News, we report, you decide?
Well, here's the trick that's going on with the narrative at Fox. First of all, they have to make it partisan. The real bias is international. The real dichotomy that matters is internationalism versus nationalism, national sovereignty versus world government, not red versus blue, not Democrat, Republican. So part of the lie is this undercurrent, this sub-theme that if there's treachery, it could only be the Democratic Party,
right,
and only the Democrats would have worked with Putin. So if Putin rigged the election, it was somehow connected to the Democrats. They rigged their own election against Bernie Sanders. That must be a reference to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And so they put in this partisan Democrat subtext in there, which completely muddles the issue. What really matters is that Fox uses that to cover up the fact that it's maintaining an internationalist narrative, even though it acts nationalist when it comes to domestic issues. But when it comes to international and foreign policy issues, Fox News is just as internationalist as the rest of them, and ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN. And that's the part where they hope people don't notice that they're just like the rest of the media there. And so they have to use the Democrat little mental trick there to cover up the fact that they're just as internationalist as the rest of them, and they're just as apt to think that Putin rigged the election, only they give it that little Democratic spin so they can try and sound like they're different than the media. And you'll notice that he talks about the media like the media is a separate entity from Fox News.
Right, right. Somehow we're apart from that, and we don't have...
Well, nothing could be further from the truth. They're right in step with them. They just use the Democratic partisan argument to try and differentiate, and then they agree with Trump on some stuff, not all of it insincere. Tucker Carlson is probably fairly sincere overall. Hannity is much more of a mixed bag, and then Chris Wallace is right. He could work for CNN tomorrow, and no one would know the difference. And on down the line, and, you know, Mark Levin, you know, I mean, come on. That guy is just, you know, worthless. If it's evil, it can only be the Democratic Party. But, you know, in fact, the Republican Party, going back to the days of William Buckley when he fired Joe Sobran from the National Review, William F. Buckley overthrew the entire genuine conservative movement, which was known as the Paleocons. The real conservatives and the Republicans and the real conservatives in general were overthrown two generations ago by CIA-connected William F. Buckley Jr. of the National Review. So that internationalized the Republican Party, and Fox News is a reflection of that. Internationalism dressed as a pro-Republican, anti-media media outlet when it's right in bed with the rest of the media on internationalist issues.
And they take turns. Now Democrats in this country, they want to go to war with Russia, but before that little self-cooked up crisis happened, the neocons at Fox News and everybody they'd bring on throughout this 16-year foray into the Middle East, they never saw a war that they didn't want to be a part of. Wow.
Yeah, they're even trying
okay.
to say
hold,
now...
Hold on, Mark. You can't hear the bump. We got to go to break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354. Or visit MIG911.com.
All right, we are back. Let me snag a call here from Loomer, and I guess you have something to say about the Up35 program, Loomer.
Hey, how you doing today, John and your guest? Good afternoon today. How you doing?
Hi.
I've been keeping up on the F-35, and that situation you were talking about with the fog and windows and stuff, the pilots are suffering from hypoxia. They're getting run out of oxygen, And then on top of that, they found out that the main guns, when they fire them, it has a tendency to bend the frames of the aircraft. And then they also found out that the landing gear on the naval versions for landing on the aircraft carriers, because of the violence, you know, that's very violent, the way from the takeoff and landing of the catapults and stuff, that the landing gears are not holding up after just a few takeoff and landings. And then the worst of it all is that they haven't even developed a lot of the weapon systems yet. They haven't even been built. They're still on the drawing board. That'd be like going out and buying a Ford, and you got an engine and it runs, but hey, it doesn't have the steering wheel, so you can't drive it.
Well, and Loomer, what's the price tag for each one of these F-35s?
Oh, it's up in the billions. It's expensive as can be. They're up in the millions and millions of dollars each. I haven't memorized that part of it yet.
And, of course, you know, you look across the board, whatever expenditures they're making for the military, I don't care if it's ships, whatever it is, they're just encountering massive problems, and they're not getting the bang for the buck, and it almost seems as if it's planned that way.
Yeah, and I think I even saw something about how they had to tow one of the literal destroyers back into port because one of the engines completely crapped out.
Yeah, yeah. So much for the bang.
So these guys are just taking us for a ride.
Yeah, and you know, I quipped on the air one day. I said, how many M16s can they build, retrofit, put bigger engines in, and put the new armaments on, and spit them out? This is a proven platform, a great plane. Everybody loved the damn thing. They were fast. They were agile. You could load them up with just about everything you wanted to load them up with. And they were relatively cheap compared to, say, the F-35 or anything else they have on the drawing board.
Yep.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
So, yeah, that was about all I had for you today, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Lumer. I appreciate you calling in. That, by the way, Mark, that's an ex-Green Beret.
Oh, wow, fantastic. Yeah, he covered it well. There's nothing really more to add. He pretty much put the period on the end of that sentence. So very good. Yeah, I appreciate him sharing that.
Yeah. So is – and I don't know if I adequately relayed to you, you know, how I've been – framing the subject about the controlled media in this country. We can look at their numbers. They're almost laughable for MSNBC, even their number one show, Morning Joe, where the ex-congressman just had to marry his co-host. But whether it be MSNBC, I don't care who it is, their viewership is through the floor. Same with CNN. But the illusion that's presented, we bring on the congressmen, we bring on the senators, we bring on the high-powered Wall Street boys and whatever else, and we have this look of legitimacy, but it's small. Comparatively speaking, it is very, very small. If Sean Hannity gets a couple million viewers per night for his show, he's doing rather well. But by comparison, Mark, these are very small numbers, but the perception that people are garnering from these presentations doesn't have anything to do linked to reality and real numbers.
Yeah, they've become a B-movie. You know, they're no longer the stars. They're a B-movie. They're like the bands that used to play in the big halls, and now they're at county fairs and playing gigs at casinos. Now they're in the lower rungs, like the movie Spinal Tap, where the band went from riches to rags. They're on their way down, and it's kind of funny, but through all the slick graphics and the slick, you know, the presentation, the way chefs talk, you know, they say, oh, when I cook the food, it's the presentation. It's not just the food. Well, with the media, there's almost no food. It's all presentation, and that's what people see. They see that slickness, you know, the ticker tape on the bottom announcing things faster than you can possibly read, much less comprehend them. And you're supposed to take that information and do something with it. And I always come back to, what would this media have me do with the information they're telling me? The sheer quantity of it, let alone the quality, is overwhelming, coming at you from eight different directions when there's only four directions. And what would you even do with it if it made sense? You know, it's an avalanche of information, absolute overload, just in the quantity alone, apart from the poor quality and the far much more luster, you know, or far less luster than they would appear to have in everything you're saying. The whole model has got to be just completely heaved on the scrap heap of history.
Well, and Mark, I covered in the first hour as well, there was just a recent Gallup poll that showed that the concern the American people have with Russian collusion in our elections, it barely even registered with the people that they polled. I mean, it's almost imperceptible. But according to the media, this is the number one hot ticket. This is why Donald Trump needs to be impeached. What I'm seeing here, and correct me if I'm wrong in my assumptions, is I'm seeing a lot of screeching going on. Not much fact, but a lot of hyperbole, a lot of overamping, a lot of misrepresentation. But it seems like the last gasp here of people that are even either trying to protect themselves from a jail sentence or whatever the case may be. I mean, it has gone beyond the pale. It's gone beyond ridiculousness.
Yeah, I'd like to see a big weenie roast in the middle of New York, burning New York Times Sunday editions and cooking marshmallows and eating hot dogs. Maybe that's just me. The bonfire of the newspapers, you know, not in the violent sense, but in the protest sense. And it's amazing that an institution that's meant to uphold the First Amendment and exercise the First Amendment and therefore help us stay free is actually destroying our freedoms one page and one report at a time with only the most minor of exceptions. Sheer irony, just complete irony.
You have been in and around Washington, D.C. for a number of years. You know the players and basically how the rules of the game are played out. But this has got to be astonishing to you. I mean, when you have James Comey, that he himself has been discredited. We've gone through this entire scenario here with Donald Trump and James Comey and Mr. Clapper and all the band of renown. Comey comes out the other day and says that I'm urging everybody to vote Democrat. Now, he's supposed to be a Republican, so he's urging everybody to vote Democrat. Why would you feed right back into the very thing that people have now pretty much made their mind up that, well, he was a Hillary Clinton boy. He was a Wookiee in human form. And, he comes out and says something like this. And what I'm seeing here is pretty much politically, they've got nothing. And I mean, they've got nothing. So we got midterm elections. I would expect more of the poison soup to be stirred here in the cauldron. But the midterm elections are in November, and this is the best that they've got. Mark, when I look at this, what I see is exasperation and desperation.
Absolutely, and the media and the Democratic Party seem to be a little bit more in an alliance than the media and the Republican Party, so Hannity might have a small point there, but he uses it propagandistically, not honestly. But yeah, so goes the media, so goes the Democratic Party. But then you have on the side these strange events. Who's the Ohio congressman that dressed Hillary down for Benghazi? His name is Jim.
I could see his face. I'll think of his name here in a second.
Get his name.
Yeah.
Jim, God, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, mine too. Well, like I said, I could see his face.
He was a wrestler when he was younger. This pretty honest Ohio congressman, graded on a curve. He's pretty good for Congress, considering their Congress. And his nephew, 21 years old, died in very strange circumstances. And there's been some other strange deaths of people that are a little bit close to the Clintons. And as of late, and then Trump's bodyguard dies in Scotland. And they say when Trump was in Scotland, in between when he met with NATO and Theresa May of the UK, right before he met with Putin in Helsinki, Trump's chief bodyguard, or one of the top ones, died, they say, of heart attack, like a massive stroke. But then there's rumors of food poisoning because, you know, maybe he's the one that helped taste the food for the president. A little bit of rumor out there, but he did pass away. The Secret Service put out a press release. And so now you've got somebody very close to the president passing away just the other day in Scotland.
Hmm. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. By the way, is that Jim Dornan by any chance?
No, not Dornan. Dornan was longer ago. Gosh darn it. I don't want to use my phone and accidentally hang you up. Why can't I think of his name? Gosh darn it, Jim.
Give me. That's his picture right there. What? Jordan? Jim Jordan?
Jim Jordan.
There we go.
Boom.
All right.
Done. Yeah, his 21-year-old nephew died in strange circumstances. There's a little bit of suspicion about the way that Jordan has been on top of, Hillary's Benghazi betrayal and a number of other things regarding arguably the most insane person to ever enter. I mean, in terms of being clinically and mentally insane, Hillary Clinton would have to take the cake and then some. This is a person that literally belongs in an insane asylum, and she's still out there running around.
Well, and what I'm seeing here and the feeling I'm getting about this, and it's I go with my gut that never lies to me, but what I'm seeing here is the Clinton Foundation literally as the nexus, the money laundering, her using her position as Secretary of State, and even before that, as Senator,
yes.
doing dastardly deeds that get the ordinary person locked up for three lifetimes. I'm getting a sense that all of this is surrounding Hillary Clinton and the thing that everybody doesn't want to touch in Washington, D.C.
If you draw all the lines back on most of these issues we're talking about tonight, one way or another, to one degree or another, with only minor exceptions, it's still, how could she possibly have lost? What did we do wrong? Oh, the elections must have been rigged. Well, yeah. It must have been Russia.
Yeah.
You know, and it's predicated on that, even though not everybody mentions that anymore and that people have differing opinions. But it is predicated on that in terms of the taproot of most of these issues.
Jeff in Georgia. Go ahead, Jeff.
I got into this late. I would like to get this guest's opinion. He said the Democratic Party going after Russia, but the Democratic Party is a coalition. You know, blacks, Hispanics, whites, Jewish power. To me, it's clear the Russiagate has so much overt Jewish interest. And if you look at just the last 20 years, the rise of, there were seven billionaire oligarchs in Russia in the 90s. I mean, this country just came out of communism. Six of them were Jewish. Most of those six are out of the country now because Putin has put them out. Putin put Khodorkovsky in prison. Berezovsky, who was tied to Yeltsin, is out of the country. Mueller, Rosenstein, these guys, there's a history here. They're going after Trump because he's a nationalist, and they fear nationalism. They're going after Putin because they can get two for one. I would like to get this guest's opinion. This is not Democrats going after their anti-Russia. This is Jewish power, and because they control most of the media, and anybody that's on MSNBC or CNN can only spout what they dictate.
Is there a question?
Go on.
No, I'm asking. Well, Jeff, put that in a form of a direct question.
The question is. The question is, we are talking around the issue, Democrat, Republican.
Okay, that's a statement. That's not a question. I'm asking you for a specific question for Mark Anderson.
I can answer.
All right, go ahead.
No, I get where he's coming from. Oh, it's undeniable from Chuck Schumer to Rosenstein. The basic framework of this has definite Jewish foundational building blocks to it. From the media to the Democrats, it's undeniable. Not everybody's comfortable talking about it. It can cause a lot of haywire, and bring out the labeling machine at the SPLC and the ADL. But it's undeniable that, from Mr. Iger, who runs ABC, and many others, that this is largely Jewish-directed, and that animosity toward Russia goes back a long time. The Bolshevik Revolution, of course, was largely Russian, Jewish directed.
Right. Well,
and
Mark, if you go back further than this, the architects of the global initiative, I guess we can call it that, the New World Order, world government, given a name, this was the fanciful musings and operations of the bankers that happened to also be what? Jewish. What's the payoff?
Yeah, primarily,
there?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, there's other players involved that are dupes and associates and allies and minions, but. You know, they lay the tribe, if you want to call them that, lay the basic foundation and informational and financial building blocks on which this thing operates. The whole world operates under the monopoly of credit, and that's largely a creation of primarily Jewish bloodlines and Jewish banks. I mean, again, there's other players, but the monopoly of credit, the debt-based money system that animates all of this, is largely their creation because that's their... That's their shtick. That's their thing.
That's their Mark. That's their power base of which they wield to control economies, to control politics within any given country worldwide. You play
right,
with the.
But
go ahead.
But a lot of people, you say that, and they say, "Well, you're anti-Semitic and you're anti-Jewish." Well, actually, there's a lot of Jews that don't like Netanyahu and don't like the Likud party and don't like the policies against the Palestinians.
Right.
That would just as soon. The Israeli government and the Zionists, which is the most important part of this, there's a lot of Jewish people that would like to see Zionism gone. There's Orthodox Jews that don't like Zionism, that don't like what's going on. There's all sorts of different fault lines and convergences and agreements and disagreements, but there are even Jews that don't like Jewish power in some respects. So it's not anti-Semitism. It's none of that.
Well, you were at that Conflab American Free Press had several years ago when Rabbi David Yisrael Weiss came in to speak to the crowd there. I mean, he's one of the guys with New Chicardi that says, wait a minute here. Israel's not supposed to be Jewish. You don't even know the teachings. Go back and take a look at this. We're not supposed to have a country until the Messiah comes, and they're too busy out there denying Jesus Christ. Mention Jesus Christ in Israel, and you might as well be out on a street corner saying, shoot Bibi Netanyahu.
Yeah, exactly. So the caller has a point in terms of the fundamental power behind the power. It's not seamless, but it is there. It's been there a long time, and the animosity versus Russia has been there a long, long time. The overthrow of the Tsar, Trotsky was Jewish, Lenin was Jewish, many of their associates were. The guy that gave the order to kill the Romanovs, his grand-nephew lives in southwest Michigan.
That stands to reason.
Yeah, Stuart Swerdlow is his name. I know him.
Wow. Let me.
He doesn't mind me saying that.
Let me snag one more call here. Lenny in California. We are running out of time here, Lenny.
The gentleman from Georgia, Jeff, got to what I was saying. What I was going to say, and I was wondering why I felt like, you know, you did the little clip on Sean Hannity, but if the truth be told, it's Rupert Murdoch's hand that's up Sean Hannity's back.
Well, of course.
And all of the others. So, but going back to what you were saying about the Democrats wanting to go to war with Russia, they don't want to go to war with Russia. The Democrats or Republicans, through the sorcery, and I repeat, sorcery of the media.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
They want to convince you and yours of your own free will to go and fight and kill for them, in order they may continue running this satanic old world order. All right. So I was happy to see Jeff come in the way he did, and I think you responded well, sir. But I was just thinking in terms of Dante's Inferno or the Divine Comedy, which is the same thing. You know, when Dante was taken through the many levels of hell, on the 18th level was the lawyers. I remember that. I think they should create a whole new level for the media.
There you go. Hey, I got an announcement I want to make before the show's over, John.
Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes here? Okay, about three minutes.
Yeah, I want to make sure that I announce, and I want to thank you for enlarging on your website the conference going on September 8th in San Antonio. Listeners can go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, to see the ad, but it's about a September 8th conference put on by a fine Texas patriot, Ron Avery. Go to mixnstream.com, M-I-X, mix, the letter N like Nancy, stream.com, mixnstream.com. Click on the link that says the ship that won't sink. And when you click on the link that says the ship that won't sink, it'll take you to what's going on that day in San Antonio at Hotel Contessa. And the speakers, which includes me, yours truly, and several others. And it'll talk about the main focus is what happened to the USS Liberty in June of 1967. And they're trying to raise funds for a movie on that and raise funds for independent media a little bit on the side. But thanks for doing that, John. And I encourage listeners to check that out at republicbroadcasting.org and mixnstream.com. So,
Click on the banner and it'll go straight to the page. Just go to our website, folks, republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the banner and it'll take you right to the page. Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, is going to be there.
Well, he'll be calling in. Yeah, he'll be speaking shortly.
Okay.
But then Dave Gaheri and Phil Turney being a survivor of the Liberty attack from Israeli forces in June of 67, and Dave Gaheri, a former submariner, they're the main focus of the ship that won't sink. Myself on global cities and the media, and a number of other things, Richard Gage included, with a shorter part of the program, Christopher Bolin on 9/11, and it's going to be really good September 8th, so everybody check it out. And again, thanks for enlarging that announcement, John.
Yeah, it's going to be held at the Hotel Contessa on the Riverwalk in San Antonio.
You'll be there, too. I don't want to leave that out. You'll be there, too. So.
Yes, I will be the wrap-up guy there at that little gathering. And this is nice, folks. I mean, it's a nice locale. It's in a very nice hotel. Tickets are what? Only $27 a piece?
And you can get on there and follow the directions and sign up for just $10 if you want to watch pay-per-view videos. And you can even buy them in advance, and you can get all six speakers for $10. Not $10 per speaker, $10 for all six speakers. Sign up, pay ahead of time. You'll get your videos in the email and watch them at your leisure. So this is for anybody in the world, not just people that show up to watch in person.
Well, we're looking for a good attendance down there. How many people can attend?
100 can go in person. And it's also posted at my blog, thetruthhound.com, thetruthhound.com.
All right.
So, be there, be square, or sign up for the video. So there we go.
All right. Well, I appreciate it very much. And, of course, that's in September, and I'll have you back on September 8th. And, Mark, I appreciate it, hanging out there in Ann Arbor, Michigan, to be on the program today.
No problem, John. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, callers. We'll see you next time.
All righty. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it very much. And Lenny, thanks for your call. You're a studious person. You do your background stuff, and we do appreciate that. All right. That'll do it for us today. I want to thank you very much for being here with us. We're back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. We will see you then. Thanks for being here today. And, folks, don't forget to support this network. Prayers are good. Checks and money orders are just as good. God doesn't cash checks. He just watches over everything. This is our domain. This is what we need to do. Support us financially. We'll see you tomorrow.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.